Anything Combat with Johnny K.
But it's Anything Combat, though.
Welcome back, combatants, to the Anything Combat show. I'm your host, Johnny K. Today, we've got professional boxing and MMA coach, UFC championship level coach, Jason Perillo. How are you today, Jason?
My man, how you doing, Johnny? You good?
I'm good. So I saw lately you've been traveling around. You had the fight with Mackenzie Dern, and you also had the fight with Chito Vera. So let me know, what was it like for you, this busy period in your life as of late?
I mean, it was good. You know, because I have a couple other kids fighting, but they're fighting on more regional promotions. But it was a tough trip, to be fair. Anytime you go to Abu Dhabi, it's not an easy trip coming from California. But I went from California to Toronto, and then Toronto to Dubai, then Dubai to Abu Dhabi. But it was the coming home thing that killed me. I went from Abu Dhabi, Dubai. Obviously, I drove there. Flew from Dubai to Toronto. Toronto. I was originally in Vancouver, I should say. Vancouver to Dubai. Then I flew for some reason to Toronto. Toronto to Newark, and then Newark home. It was like about 35 hours of traveling. So it was a rough one coming home. But at least we got the title while you're out there, right? Makes it a lot easier flight. It's not a fun flight when you lose the fight, especially if it's a title fight and you got to travel 35 hours, right?
How many titles have you won now in the UFC as well as boxing titles? How many champions do you think you've helped win the belt with?
Individual titles in the UFC, I've had four individuals. I a total of 10 championship wins in the UFC. Three. I've worked with three boxing world champions. I've worked and sparred and did a lot with a lot of higher level guys. But at the end of the day, you know, those are the ones that I'll take credit for, I guess.
Jason, who do you think was easier to deal with, the boxing champions or the MMA champions?
Well, to be fair, back when I was a lot younger, when I was messing around with boxing, but to be fair, all champions, in my opinion, kind of have a very similar attitude and personality, the way they go, you know, the way they go about it. But I think the MMA community, believe it or not, I think is more of a warmer community. I think everybody can kind of gets along a little bit. So you got a lot of different facets of the game. You got a lot of different grapplers, and you know, you're not just standing in one form of fighting, I could say, I guess, in boxing. So everybody's just real. It's almost gang-like going to the, you know, you go to the bat in the boxing business. You know, everybody walks around with their crew. And granted, do they walk around their crew in MMA? Sure. But, you know, there's a little bit more. And I guess that lies in the fact that, you know, losing isn't detrimental to your career as a professional MMA fighter. You know, we're boxing, you know, you're walking on thin ice when you start, you know, losing any type of fights. You know, it starts obviously devaluating you quite a bit. You know, where MMA, there's a lot more cushion and understanding and leeway losing fights, you know.
Why do you think that is? Why do you feel that in boxing, if you lose, people say that you're washed and you're done? But we've seen many fighters in MMA lose, build new skills, and then go on a win streak, fight for a title or something after they've already had kind of their stint, they've fallen off, and then they've come back. In boxing, I feel personally like because the skills are so specific, you get one thing, hands, and you've got your hands, you've got your head, and your body. You have to fight the person. In MMA, I feel like if you have a shit start to your career, you can change your style, introduce grappling, and you can come back better than ever. So why do you feel like in boxing they can't do that?
Well, I mean, you kind of said it in itself right there. You got so many different avenues to kind of explore, and you know, not everything clicks with everybody. You know, not everybody gets the understanding of the boxing skills, let's say, but at the same time, they got a good feel for kicking and grappling and wrestling, and you know, certain areas develop, you know, to the point to where they can use it to win. You said it yourself. I mean, there's a lot of, and I guess it's a lot newer sport. Boxing just kind of developed like that over the years, to where losing was a catastrophe. But where, MMA again is a real sport. Will MMA end up developing to the point where they're just kind of, they start f only fucking with people that got, the win, one loss, two losses, a lot of undefeated. I mean, there's undefeated guys now as well, and there's a little bit of a hype on it. But again, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't kill your career to lose. There's champions out there with, double digit losses, in MMA. So, and to answer your question, I think you kind of answered it, with asking me it. You said it yourself. There's a lot more leeway because, there's a lot of other ways to win the fight than just punching the body, just punching the head, and just using your hands.
Jason, can you give me some insight about your work with boxing and then kind of transmutating that into the MMA game? We've seen fighters like Jack Della Maddalena, he's fighting for the title against Islam. His type of style, that boxing heavy style within MMA. Ilia Topuria has a different type of style, but still very boxing dominant within the MMA structure. I want to ask you, with your work, how do you think you're porting over professional boxing into MMA fights?
Well, I kind of get that. I started doing that from the get-go back when I was really around, a lot of MMA fighters when MMA started, when there's no holds barred, and you're fighting with, just bare knuckles and, no time limit and all that stuff. So, I've been around the sport since it's, since it's been developing, really. And I've always, worked with guys that were involved in it. It's something that maybe I would have, looking at back at it now, maybe I should have made the crossover myself. And there was boxers that I would work with that would talk, that would spar with and say, "This is something you'd be good at." I said, "Well, I work with a lot of these guys, and help them with their boxing." And I've always been around it, obviously working with some higher level boxers and whatnot around town. I would work with, again, like you said, like I was saying, MMA guys back when there was no holds barred. And just kind of it just became a real organic transition as I retired from fighting and just kind of focusing on not really committing to being a coach wasn't my plan necessarily. But when I started, working with guys and finding success, obviously the work, I started working with BJ Penn back in 2006, 2007, around there, and found success with him, and obviously kind of, embedded me in the sport a little bit because I just, started picking up and working with other guys and just, again, organically just ended up just being a coach. It wasn't necessarily 100% my plan, but, I guess it was in the back of my mind always as a second alternative in life, but just ended up just staying with it.
One thing I think that everybody listening right now would be intrigued about is the footwork of boxing, specifically the pivots and stance switch and everything that goes into combination punching for MMA. And I want to ask you, I've seen a lot of fighters where they try and do that type of style, yet someone else's Muay Thai, they kick their legs out, they don't have the stance to stop a kicker or to stop someone from wrestling with them. How do you think that you're helping your athletes with the footwork of boxing so they can generate, really good power and also be in a good frame so they can't get taken advantage of with the kickboxing and the wrestling?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, obviously, like you said, the frame, I mean, you wanted, I really just focus. I mean, obviously, I build a lot of a proper foundation of standing and fighting. I think it's more of a fighting footwork as opposed to a boxing footwork. Sure, boxing is my forte, I guess, at the end of the day when it comes to fighting, but fighting too, And it, I can't say I necessarily was the prettiest boxer, but I could fight, so I'm more of a slugger. But as far as understanding your movement on your feet and your balance on your feet and your controlling the range and the distance and whatnot, I think boxing applies probably the best footwork you can have in the MMA game because, Muay Thais are killers. They got the elbows, they got the knees and stuff, but, boxers and movement of boxing can also learn to do that as well, I've heard other fighters say this before. I've been saying it since back, 20 years ago. I mean, I prefer a boxing movement and a boxing style with the ability to kick, almost like a kickboxer, I guess you can call it. But hey, it depends obviously 100% on the individual and what kind of athleticism they have, what kind of coordination, what kind of re like what kind of where they're kind of, better connected. Are they, what kind of speed they have. And if they got two left feet, you just gotta teach them how to, go forward and go back. Everybody's an individual, so to, sure, there's a base foundation of moving and standing and shifting your weight and whatnot, and then it's just depending on the individual how much you can, branch off with that movement. So, everybody's a little different. I've had great fighters that just stand right in front of you and go forward and have great reads and good timing and, and just really, had, really good at a close range fight. I had other fighters that had really good on moving and angling and just controlling the range of the distance and maybe keeping it at a little further distance where they still can kick. It depends on every individual, but I definitely apply a lot of footwork to my athletes. If you talk to them and whether it looks like they're moving or running around in there, there's important importance on putting a lot on the footwork.
Jason, why do you believe, which you've already proven, how are you able to work with all these different styles if someone wants to do short range in close fighting or if someone wants to do long range fighting? How are you able to apply your principles for their game if if you're dealing with so many a diversification of so many different styles?
Well, I guess I got a pretty good eye for it, a pretty good understanding for it, for body mechanics, for it. And like I said, I mean, I was fairly athletic guy. I was fairly coordinated guy. So I kind of, I started boxing late, so I had to really learn how to fight more. I didn't develop, the at a young, I should say, because there's fighters out here that start fighting at 5, 6 years old. I didn't start doing this stuff till I was in the teenagers. I was in the teenage years, but I again. I said I had the ability to kind of switch my style. I could box a little bit, actually. I did have good reflex. I had good instincts. I had good speed. I had good power. I had, but I always kind of had a confusion of kind of trying to figure out what my style was. And while I was trying to figure out what my style was, I would kind of develop different ways of looking at it. And I think it, again, another organic thing for me, it just kind of organically transferred over into watching guys and understanding where they're at, where they're at in their head, and where they're the most comfortable, and have the eyesight and understanding the balance and the movement and whatnot to be able to kind of help add as many wrinkles as I can to the athletes that I work with.
Jason, why did you move from New York to California
My family.
in early stages of your life?
Yeah, my family moved us out here. My dad got a job out here with a company, so he moved the family out from New York. I still have a lot of relatives in New York, but they moved us out here at a young age. So, that was basically the tale of the story there. Not too much.
And when you went to California, you started working with Jesse Reed, right?
Yes, Jesse Reed.
And can you tell me a little bit about that? You were around 16 at the time, taking up boxing.
Jesse Reed is a Hall of Fame boxing coach. He's and to be fair, I'm glad you mentioned it because he's a big part of my foundation as far as coaching people as well. I, Jesse was a You know, he was a he was a, an all of, he was a high level athlete in a lot of sports. His top sport probably was baseball, is what he would tell you. He was planning on going professional baseball, but he's a baseball player, he was a football player, and he was a he won every amateur boxing tournament there is in the country. He missed going to the he missed going to the Olympic trials. But and he had a great professional boxing record and was a real fighter. It came from real fighters and you know, a tough man. And he went to college for physical education, and also his major was physical education, his minor was psychology. And he had a real understanding of how important the brain is. You know, when it comes to any type of athleticism, like I said, he competed in all these, he competed at a high level in these other sports as well. So, he learned the understanding of that, not just through trying to get educated on it, but also at the same time, competing and being an athlete and being a fighter. You know, he had a really good gift about as far as kind of, very similar to me. His son, who was one of my closest friends, used to say, "You and my dad are exactly alike." You know, and at the same time, I have a my father who moved us out here was a professional. He's a motivator. He did part-time motivational speakers. He had a real connection with people. You know, and it sounds corny, I think, when you talk about that type of thing, but I just know it to be true. Trying to explain that, it's like my fighters go, "What does Jason Borrello do for you?" It's like, "Oh, he does this for me, does that to me." You can talk about the physical, the mechanics, what you're talking about, the footwork. You can talk about all this. You know, but one of my favorite compliments is obviously is when my fighters say he helps me mentally. And then the interviewer like yourself or whoever was is talking about it goes, "Well, what does that mean?" And they're like, I don't know how to explain that to you. You know what I mean? Because that's a tough thing to explain. You know, it's something that's a day-to-day basis. It's something that after a coach or somebody that you're looking to as a mentor and guidance and help, you know, over the course of time, there's a understanding what they know about you too, and when you they start drawing the best out of you, because the best comes out of you, sure, physically, but the mental thing has to be there. If you don't have the mental aspect of it, and some of that has to be developed, just like anything, you know, were you born tough? Is people born champions? All this. No, I mean, there's a little bit of both. I've said this my whole life. Because at the same time, you need the right direction. You need the right people around you. You need the right experience around you. And sure, some people can get there on their own. Some people can, you know, there's some gifted athletes and just happen to have the right people around them as well. Or other people get them there. It doesn't matter. If I'm making sense to you, hopefully I am. But you ask a fighter a lot of times, they'll say, "Yeah, he helps me mentally." What does that mean? Well, it's putting the mind and body connected, you know, but you got to know the mind, and a lot of fighters have pretty wild minds. You know what I mean? They're not the easiest people to get the respect as well, you know, and that always happens over the course of time. If you get a guy's respect and they really trust you, you know, you can definitely gain a lot more inches with it.
Your development with Jesse Reed, do you consider yourself blessed that out of luck, out of the universe, whatever happened, you found a good mentor for yourself?
Well, it's 100%. It's, I mean, and I like you said, I don't look at it like I think that's the way my, you know, I think that nothing's by chance. You know what I mean? I think that's it's just kind of the way that, you know, our spirits are going on this world. You know, that was part of where I was supposed to be, and I think he was a huge influence on my career. And a huge, I talked to him yesterday. I talked to him. He's 83 years old. He still goes to the gym every day. He still trains fighters. He still trains kids. He's a great human being. He's a good man that's helped a lot of people. And he did a lot for me. That's why I stay. I mean, I know because I, you know, people end their careers, and it's not like they continue to have a relationship with their coaches, let's say, especially a lot of the fight games. And you see a lot of people actually having a falling out with their. You know, they just lose touch because maybe there wasn't that connection, and maybe there wasn't, you know, maybe they felt like, you know, nothing was done, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but there's very few fighters that I have that I don't still have a relationship with, you know. I still have contact. And just like I do with Jesse, I don't know if Jesse has all his fighters. Obviously, he's had dozens and dozens and dozens of fighters, but he's a major influence in my life, in my career.
Jason, there might be somebody listening right now that is hearing you talk about how you found a good mentor, and they themselves haven't found that type of mentorship in a gym or don't know which gym to go to. What would you say to these people for them to go find good mentorship so they can develop just like how you did?
Well, I mean, what do you think I was I necessarily? Well, obviously, when you're a kid, you're looking for a mentor without even knowing it sometimes, But and that's a fact of the matter. A lot of times you're gonna know it. I mean, there's a lot of good coaches out there. There really are. There's a lot that will give positive, good advice. If you really want to do something, and it's really important to you, and unfortunately, not everybody gets to find that. You get to find that at an early age what they really want to do, and it's and they're willing to, do anything to make it happen. That's a tough thing for people to find as it is. But like you said, if there's one or two people out there that would listen and say, I mean, you got to go in and find it, really. I mean, it sounds like a simple cop-out answer, but at the end of the day, you got to find out what you want to do. Is it wrestling? You want to be a wrestler? You're going to find it. You're going to find that mentor, because if you stay in the room and you work hard, he's going to notice you. You know what I mean? If you stay in the room and he can see your spirit and how much you love it and how much you want it, he's going to notice you. You know what I mean? If you go there and you're enthusiastic and you got the right personality, you don't have an ego to you, and you can tell that you're hungry and you're just showing that you're the hardest working guy in the world or in the room, he's going to notice you. You know what I mean? And I think that's what's the most important is really you got to focus on having some balls and in yourself, and just doing what you want to do. And if you just keep trying. If anybody has a wherewithal in them and a sense of, a sense of what they're looking at, they're going to notice. And I think that's where you find a mentor. The mentor kind of finds you just as much as you find them. You're in the right place at the right time, sure. But he notices what if he has enough experience, what he's what and he can tell how much you love it. And if he sees that you have enough skill to do it. And but he sees how hungry you are and how much you love it. Jesse used to say this to me all the time, and I agree because I have a lot of fighters that aren't the A students. You know what I mean? Is it like, there's not like to take an A student and make an A student out of them is fucking. I guess you could say anybody could do that, but you could tell somebody that has a hunger to them and a toughness to them, and a desire and a want to them. You can see them and you can see the skills in there. They're not the prettiest, but with a brain like that and a toughness like that, that other part, we'll get it. You know what I mean? We'll get it somehow, some way. Like you had asked me earlier the questions in MMA, how you can lose and come back and have a rejuvenated career, I know I'm running around with the answer, but at the end of the day, if you love it enough, you're going to go put yourself in a room and you're going to try to find the best room you can be in to be the best at what you're doing. And if there's a mentor in that room, he's going to notice you.
Your role within combat sports has actually changed a lot. You fought, you coached, you've worked with MMA, you've worked with boxing. There's a lot of diversification there. Somebody at one point noticed you and your skill level when we spoke about the mentorship previously. Now you are in the position where you get to notice people coming up. So who do you think, out of everybody you've worked with, which fighter did you notice putting in the effort and you were drawn to them to work with them?
Well, what's that? What's well, I got kind of a unique situation too. It's not like I was at a, I was at a gym for 15 years from age. I helped open up a gym called LA Box and then Costa Mesa. They had a franchise and there's a bunch of them, but I helped open up the original one with my friend from high school, Sean McCauley. And I spent a lot of years there, but I wasn't doing this for a living there. I was doing this for a living, but I wasn't training fighters and actually trying to develop them to the highest level that they can get to, right? But when I did, and I was working at BJ and I came back here, I was always at a private gym. I was at the gym when they built the gym for me and BJ back in 2008, which was called the Ruka RVCA, RVCA's Ruka, which is a clothing company. But it was always a private gym. So all the fighters that would come, they would actually reach out to me. They would track me down, ask me to come train. So it wasn't like I had been in a room. Don't get me wrong. There is time that there's other fighters in there, and there's different guys that that have different abilities, but maybe train with other people. But in all fairness, as much as I say they got the fight that the coach is going to notice you, I mean, he will. But at the same time, I tend to have the more success with the fighters that have searched to find me, and somehow we're in the situation where they're if they live in town, they're in here, they want to come train with me, and we have a good connection, and I feel like they want to listen to what I have to say, and just like any coach, you want to, you don't want to just hold the hand pads for somebody and just hope the best for them. You want to have a relationship where they have respect for you and they want to listen to you and they want to learn from you. That's where I found my most success. But for example, when Michael Bisping came to me, he had been around the block a little bit. He's coming off a couple losses, sure. You know what I mean? He was a little unsure of where he was at in his career. And to be honest, he had a lot of fundamental, holes in what he did, and he kind of bounced around and was around the block. And I went, but I did notice right at the bat. I said, this guy's a hard worker. Obviously, I've seen a little history of him fighting, but I'm like, this guy just needs some dirt. This guy needs some guidance. This guy needs somebody that understands what he understands, and even more. You know what I mean? He understands. He understands the psychology of it. He understands how to handle me. You got to handle these fucking guys. I mean, I don't mean that in a negative way by using fucking guys. You know what I mean? But the other day, you got to be able to handle them. And if and that's the spirit to a human being too. So that's another thing is how do you explain that? So when a fighter says he helps me mentally, well, what does that mean? Well, you say, oh, spirit, what are you, kook? You talk about spirits and this, that. Yeah, there's an energy and there's understanding. Then when you talk to me, and then I talk to you. I mean, we have these little interviews. I tell you a little bit about my history, but this is just, you're not even, history isn't all just about the high levels of your career. You know what I mean? I've had a long life to live. You know what I mean? And fighters got to be able to respect somebody that they're taking an opinion from, especially when it comes to fight. And you get to know a human being, you start saying, you know what? I'll listen to this guy. You know what I mean? And obviously, that's where I think any coach is going to get the most success from an athlete is when they want to listen to them, and especially if they have some good guidance and a good direction and take them where they need to go. So, I run around the question. Another question was, how do you approach a guy or something? Is that what you said? If you notice a guy in the gym that your question was something like that, right? How do unfortunately, it's just always a lot of all the athletes I work with has just been up. And that's kind of way I am. I don't have this flesh peddler fucking mentality where I just want a room of 20 guys and let me just see which one can do good. I put a lot of energy in these guys. I am their therapist as well. You know what I mean? I have a lot of communication with them. It's not like I have them in the gym and I talk to them. You know what I mean? They see me sometimes. Sometimes we're in the gym for an hour, hour and a half, and sometimes we're out in the front parking lot for another hour and a half. You know what I mean? Fighting is a very crazy, crazy lonely sport, especially if you take it serious. If it's something that you really respect, because if you don't respect it, it's going to not respect you, and you're going to fight. It's something that fighting. We used to say boxing. If you don't respect boxing, boxing ain't going to respect you. And it goes hand in hand with fighting. I think I do spend a lot of time trying to keep my guys in the right lane as well. But yeah, I fortunately, my fighters have come to me and we've connected, and I've had plenty of high level fighters come to me. I've trained a lot of high level fighters that you know. There are a lot of fighters that we really didn't have the vibe or the energy or the spirit kind of work, or maybe the location even. But yeah, you know, I haven't searched or reached out to train. There's no, I've never looked for a fighter. I've ended up with fighters. So it almost contradicts my answer to how does a guy go look for a mentor? You know, but that is going to happen. He will be in the room and he will be noticed. If he loves it, he puts the right work into it.
That's all we have time for, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Jason, for your time. Before we wrap up the podcast, can you give us, as a final message, what people should do to build that mental, spiritual connection with the people around them, as you did with the fighters?
Well, you got to love it as much as they do, obviously. Love is the strongest thing you got going out there, bud. You know what I mean? If you have the skill, if you have the ability, I mean, there's a lot of fighters, there's a lot of coaches, there's a lot of managers, there's a lot of promoters, there's a lot of people in the game of fighting or in the game of anything that maybe don't have maybe the cerebral ability. I don't know what, maybe they don't have maybe experience, maybe there's something that maybe can't, you know, graduate to the highest level that you can get to. But what was your question again? I'm sorry, I just spaced on your question. You're asking me what is it? Oh, did they get that connection? I do think the connection. I think again, if there's a coach in the gym that loves it more than life itself, and he's dedicated to it, and he puts the time into it, he's going to attract, you know, birds of the same feather flock together. Let's put it like this. You know, there's a lot of these weird cliche sayings. There's a reason they're a cliche saying is because there's a lot of truth behind them, you know, and that's why they're used for many, many years. There's nothing worth saying other people haven't said before, you know, but at the end of the day, you put the right vibration out there. You love it more than life itself, and you dedicate real time for it, and you educate yourself on, you know, it, you're going to attract that same type of spirit. You know, if you're looking for an athlete, a fighter to develop and help and be the best they can be, you know, you got to be the same, and it'll come together.
Follow Jason Perillo on Instagram, social medias. I'll put the links in the description. Follow Anything Combat Podcast. Become a combatant.
Become a combatant.